But I want to speak to you this morning. I've titled the message, God's Election and the Duty of a Lost Sinner. And I know a lot of times when some people think about election, they think that everything is already fixed. And we either gonna go to heaven or we not. And we tend to think that, well, if the Lord's already chosen, there ain't no sense me making effort to seek the Lord and to do anything at all to be saved. But that's not the way the Bible gives it to us. That's the election, you might say, is God's side of the equation. We have a duty. But I want to look at sovereignty and election and show it. I think there's been, seemed like, a lot of speaking on sovereignty and election lately, but I want to go one more time. But the reality, from God's perspective, everything is fixed in a manner. It's done. God speaks of some things in the Bible. He speaks of some future things in the past tense, as if they've already happened. God knows what's going to happen. He already knows. He knows it well. It says nothing's ever a surprise to God. Everything that happens in life to us, we find a surprise, so to speak, because we cannot see and we don't have that foreknowledge that God has. But God has made this life for us in such a manner that He has sovereign control over it. He can do as He pleases. But at the same time, it's your duty to seek the Lord for salvation. And your duty to seek the Lord and God's sovereignty, they don't overlap. God is sovereign, and that's true and solid and unmovable. And you have a duty as a lost sinner to seek the Lord, and that is true and solid and unmovable. God can be sovereign, and at the same time, you as a lost sinner are responsible for what you do in this life. And you are responsible for getting to Christ for salvation. God's election, now you listen, God's election doesn't interfere with your coming to Christ, and your own determination to be saved does not interfere or hinder God's election and His sovereignty. Now the two go together. The two are fixed. The two are solid. Your duty to seek the Lord, it doesn't oppose God's sovereignty. And God's sovereignty doesn't oppose or hinder your duty to come to Christ. Now we tend to think that it does. People say, well, are you saying that I can be saved even if I'm not one of God's elect? Is that what you're telling me? That's not what I'm telling you. God's election stands firm. It is solid. Here's the problem. You, as a lost sinner, are trying to blame God for your going to hell. Now, there's a fine line. May the Lord give you grace to understand it. But it's not God's fault if you go to hell. It's not. You stop and think about it. You won't seek the Lord. You don't seek the Lord, and the reason that you won't and that you don't is because you don't want to. You don't want to. You have no interest and no desire for Christ or salvation. Now, that's the natural heart. It's all about what you want. Where does God's election fit into that? You've made your own choices. You like the choices that you've made. You go on with your choices. And your choices are going to take you to a devil's hell. And you want to blame God for it. Now that's the natural heart. That's the natural man. That's what we all are by nature. What we want by nature is to know that we're elected. Oh, I know I'm elected and I can feel safe. And I know I can get to heaven and I can continue on in my sin. You see, that's what we want to think. We want to feel safe and secure about heaven and our future. And we want to continue on in our sin, chasing the world, the things of the world, loving the world, all those things. You're rejecting Christ. You're rejecting Him. And your rejection of Christ is all of yourself. You've done it. And on Judgment Day, you're going to have to answer for it. And you'll admit to it. You can't blame anybody else for it. The Bible tells us there in 2 Timothy 2:19, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." The Lord knows everyone. Now you might say, well, doesn't that do away with my seeking the Lord and all that? The Lord already knows. No. No, you're going to have to make effort. The religious world as a whole doesn't believe in election. They believe God chose nations or whatever. And I haven't been able to fully understand what they believe. But the world doesn't believe that God chose a lost sinner. They won't have it. But you need to read your Bible. You need to ask God to give you grace to understand it. I read somewhere where a preacher was speaking about salvation. He was trying to, I think, minimize it. And he said, God has not predetermined that certain individuals be saved and leaving others with no hope. Now that's what he said. But now you listen. He went on, he said, everything would be fated and evangelism and world missions would seem pointless. But his error was where he said some would be saved and others would have no hope. God's word teaches us that we're all totally depraved, that none of us has any hope. There is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. People have said God looked down through eternity and or through all of time at all of the mankind, and He saw the people and He saw the ones that would believe and He saw the ones that would choose to believe and choose to come to Christ. And He wrote their names down, and that's what election means. But that's not what election means. Because God, I believe, He did look down through time and He saw all the people from Adam to the end of time, and He saw there was none that would believe. There was none that would call on the Lord. There was none that would seek the Lord. There was none. And that's what we are by nature. Totally depraved, won't have anything to do with God or seeking the Lord by nature. So the Lord had to send the Holy Spirit to work in the heart, to move upon us, open our understanding, open that darkened understanding and that darkened mind, the blinded eyes, and cause us to see what we are, because Satan has us so blinded that we can't see and we can't know. So God chose a number, wrote their names down, and he sends the Holy Spirit to move on us. And if the Lord had never elected some, there would none ever be saved. None. The religious world seems to think that election means that some can be saved while others are denied the opportunity of salvation. Now that's what he said, but that's not so. Everyone has the same opportunity to come to Christ. That opportunity is there for all, but none will have it. None will have it. Many think that man has a free will and that he can choose to be saved. You can choose a lot of things in this life. You can. We can go about, you can go to the grocery store, you can choose what you want to buy, you can go out and you can look at the cars and you can choose which car you want to buy. You can choose a lot of things, but you cannot choose to be saved. You just don't have that power within yourself. It's like saying, consider somebody that you hate and despise. And I'm not saying that you hate and despise somebody, but consider that you do and you change your mind. You say, I'm going to love that person. I'm going to love them. Now, you can do nice things for somebody that you hate and despise, and you maybe even change them, cause them to be a different person. But you could never cause yourself to love somebody that you hate. Love and hate are opposites. You can't bring them together. It's not within us. We don't have that power. And the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means we hate God by nature. You don't have the power to love God. It is in opposition to you. How can you ever choose to come to your hated enemy for salvation? You can't choose God. You can't do it. But God can choose you. You can't choose him, but he can choose you. All through the Bible, we have instances of God's election, and God's election will stand. It'll stand. You can't change it. But at the same time, your duty, your obligation as a lost sinner is to seek the Lord. You're going to have to seek the Lord if you want to be saved. Your duty, and that duty will stand just as firm and just as unmovable as God's election. You're going to have to seek the Lord. You're going to have to call on him. You're going to have to strive to enter in, or you'll never be saved. You can't get away from your duty to seek the Lord any more than you can get away from God's election. It's part of God's plan. It's there. It's fixed. It is. The Bible tells us. Now we talk about election and duty. 1 Corinthians 1:21. He says, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world, by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. By the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. And that's what the Lord uses to save his elect, to draw his people. God sends the Holy Spirit to move on your heart, to prick your heart, to awaken you before the Lord sends the Spirit. You'll sit in darkness. You'll think highly of yourself. I'm not such a bad person. But when the Holy Spirit comes and pricks your heart, awakens you, you'll come to see yourself like the Apostle Paul said, the chief of sinners. You'll agree with it. You won't argue with the Lord. No, Lord, I'm not like that. You'll see yourself as the chief of sinners. You'll see that you have a wicked heart, a depraved nature. You'll find that everything the Bible speaks of in describing a sinner, it applies to you. You'll understand it. God sends the Holy Spirit to take these things, the things that God says, the description of sin and a sinner, and the Holy Spirit makes it real to you. He makes it real. That's how the Lord saves a sinner. But look at the duty of the lost sinner. Look at what he has to do. Man's duty, you have a duty to seek the Lord. I have a duty to stand here, and I want to encourage you, every lost sinner, to seek the Lord, to call on him, to plead with him. Don't get stuck or hung up on election and say, well, how do I know, and what if, and all those things. You leave that alone. That's not your business. God told you, ask, and it'll be given you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened. He says, come, let's reason together. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. There are the Lord's commandments continue on and on. Showing your duty, showing you what you need to do to be saved. A sinner, a lost sinner, must be active in seeking the Lord. Now don't misunderstand and think that I'm telling you salvation by works and that if you do this and that and the other, then you can be saved. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that you have to come to Christ, and that Christ will save you. But I'm trying to show you that you cannot sit on your behind and wish you were saved and think that because the Lord elected that sooner or later you'll be saved. You can't do that. If you're ever saved, you will get up, you will seek the Lord, you will call on him, you'll plead with him, you'll beg him for your soul, you'll study, you'll read the word, you'll do something. You'll never be saved just sitting there. He says, ask, and it'll be given you. He says, seek, and you'll find. He says, knock, and it shall be opened to you. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to ask. You're going to have to ask the Lord for salvation. You're going to have to beg the Lord for your soul. He says, seek, and ye shall find. You're going to have to put effort into seeking the Lord. Don't spend just a little time here and there seeking and wishing and mostly wishing and then forget it. Get off. Well, I sought the Lord. I did all I know what to do and I'm still not saved. Well, are you going to just stop and go on to hell? Are you? Just give up and say, forget it. No, you've got to keep on. You've got to persevere. You've got to go back to that door and knock again and say, Lord, Lord, help me. And knock again and say, Lord, help. And beat on that door. If it be possible, beat the door down and say, Lord, I need help. I'm a lost sinner. I'm going to hell. Look what the Lord's example to us is. Luke 11:5-8. He said unto them, and this is Christ speaking, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Because of his importunity. What does that word mean? Let me tell you, for those of you who may not know, the dictionary tells us it means troublesomely urgent, unreasonably solicitous, overpressing in request or demand. It means to continue on, won't accept no for an answer. You got to help me. I got company. We need a little something to eat here. You got to help me. And you won't take no for an answer. This is Christ's example to us of what the Lord expects from us. He's telling us if you want to be saved, you're going to have to strive for it. Make an effort. You're going to have to press yourself, force yourself. What does the Bible say? Press into it. The violent take it by force. Those things. Salvation's not going to come to you while you do nothing. But you're going to have to get up and make an effort to seek the Lord until you find him. You can't stop. You can't say, well, I'll give it 5 minutes today and tomorrow I'll give it 5 minutes again. You're going to have to continue on. You're going to have to continue on. You're going to have to continue on and on until the Lord saves you. So let me ask you, will you do it? Will you continue on? When will the Lord save you? When you've continued enough? Will he save you when you've sought him with your whole heart? Will he? He says if you'll seek him with your whole heart, you'll be found. How do you know when you sought him with your whole heart? How do you know? How can you tell? Well, that's just another thing. It's for God to know. You can't tell. I can't tell. When the Lord saved me, I couldn't tell I was seeking with my whole heart. I couldn't. In fact, I thought just the opposite. I'll never be able to seek the Lord with my whole heart. But the Lord knows. He knows. The Bible tells us, Ecclesiastes 3:1, To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There is a time. There is a time for you to be saved. Did you ever think about that? There's a time. And then 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells us, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God has a time for your salvation. And he tells you that that time is today. It is now. And you keep putting it off. And you put it off. And you put it off. And God says it's now. And you won't believe it. God has a time set. And I believe that God knows to the minute when you'll be saved. And that time is not for you to know. Your business is to seek the Lord, is to call on him, is to reason with him. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter in. Strive. Are you striving? Are you entering in or are you staying in that broad, easy path? He says, strive to enter at that straight gate. That gate can be thought of as a small opening. So small, you may have to squeeze yourself through. Get down on your hands and knees. Crawl through it. Difficult even then to get through. And you say, well, I ain't going through that. I ain't going to squeeze myself into there. That's the way to life. The only way. It's a difficult way. And you're going to have to go in. You're going to have to, or you're going to go to hell. Now you listen. Many people come up to that gate. That way, they look at it and they reject it. And they say, I'm not going through there. I can't get through that. What's all my friends going to think when they see me crawling around trying to squeeze through that little hole? That they're going to say it's foolishness. I can't do that. There's got to be another way on down this broad way. Another gate, another way that leads to life. This one's too difficult. I can't do that. There's no other way. There's no other gate. You're going to have to pass through this tight, difficult, embarrassing way or go to hell. You're going to have to strive to enter in. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to forsake all that you have or go to hell. He tells us, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he'll answer and say, I know you not whence ye are. And then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he'll answer back, and he'll say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourself thrust out. Whenever you look into heaven and you see all the people there, all your loved ones perhaps, enjoying the glory of the Lord, and you're cast out, not able to participate. Now, Brother J.C. Ryle, he says about this, he says, Christ is delivering a heart-searching prophecy. The Lord tells us in the day of his second coming that many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. He says they'll knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open, let us in. But they'll not be allowed entrance. They will plead earnestly and say, well, we have eaten and drank in thy presence, and you have taught in our streets. We're familiar with you. We know you. You know us. But their pleas will go unheard and unanswered, and they will receive that solemn answer, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. What an awful thought. Your religious profession, your formal knowledge of Christ will not save you. You have spent your life serving sin and the world, and you have never sought out that straight gate that leads to life. What an awful thought. This prophecy reveals to us that awful fact that men may see what is right. You might see it. You might understand it when it is too late to be saved. Too late. There's a time to every purpose under heaven, and it's too late. There's a time coming when people will repent. Too late. Too late. When they will believe. Too late. When they will have a sorrow for sin. Too late. When they will begin to pray, but it'll be too late. When they will be anxious about salvation, and it'll be too late. They'll have a strong desire for heaven, but it'll be too late. I urge you, don't wait until it's too late. Thousands, millions will die and wake up in another world, and they'll be convinced of truth, the truth that they refuse to believe on earth. It'll be too late. Earth is the only place in God's creation where there is any unbelief. And hell is nothing but the truth known too late. Too late. Now, this should help us to understand some of the things around us, that money, pleasure, rank, greatness, these things occupy our minds, our hearts. They keep us busy now, here. They keep us busy when we should be praying and believing and striving to enter in, to be identified with Christ. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you seeking the Lord? Do you want to be saved? Are you going to wait until it's too late? Christ said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I come quickly. Let's be ready for the Lord when he comes. Let's be ready. The awful conclusion that we must make from this brief description is that there are few that be saved. There are few. And I ask, are you going to be one of those few? You cannot go through this life living life as you please and on your terms, and die and go to hell and then blame God for it. It is your duty to seek the Lord. Our soul naturally turns away from God and salvation, but Scripture and facts should shut us up to it and make us realize there's a heaven to win and a hell to shun. It's a fact. Salvation is offered to every man, every woman, every child, every person born into this life. Salvation is offered. It is set before you. All things are ready on God's part, and Christ is willing and ready to receive sinners. But sinners are not willing to come to Christ, and so few are saved. Few, and I would say very few. He says, strive to enter in, for many will seek to enter and shall not be able. Now, there's a difference between seeking the Lord or seeking to enter that straight gate and striving to enter. Many will seek. He says, many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Many will seek. Many will have a desire to go to heaven, but their desire is more of a wish, a dream. They won't put any effort into it. They won't call on the Lord. What are you doing? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you? Are you calling on the Lord? God is sovereign, but your duty is to call on the Lord. If you won't call on Him, if you won't plead with Him, He's not going to save you. The Bible says, call, come, reason together, seek the Lord, seek Him with your whole heart. It says to get honest with Him. Tell him your heart. Tell Him how you feel. Get honest with the Lord. I remember I had to get honest with the Lord. Lord, I don't even want to be saved. I don't want to seek the Lord. I don't want to pray. It's not what I want. God already knows your heart. But you're going to have to admit to it. You're going to have to confess it to the Lord. If you won't confess it to Him, you'll never be saved. You're going to have to tell Him, Lord, I don't want to be saved. I had to confess it. Lord gave me grace to do it. I couldn't do it of my own self. Of my own self, I would never have even been concerned. The Lord had to give me grace to seek Him, to call on Him, all those things. Let me ask you, has the Lord given you grace to seek Him, to be concerned, anything at all? If the Lord has given you any concern at all, you need to plead with Him. Plead with Him. Plead with Him that He won't leave you. Lord, help us. Our Father, we thank You now for this time. Thank You for Thy Word. Lord, thank You for Christ, my Redeemer, for that blood that washes whiter than snow. Lord, I thank You for saving just an old sinner like myself. And Lord, I just plead with You, Lord, to have mercy on our people. Turn their hearts. Give them grace, Lord, to seek Thy face. Help us, Lord. Bless us now. Go with us through the day. And bring us back tonight, if it be Thy will. And ask it all in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.